That's a rather simplified suggestion of a complex mental process, but you get the idea.
Well, hey, friends, it's so good to see you, and happy Sunday, no matter where you're watching this from. I'm glad that you're here. My name is Clay Munkus, and I get the honor and the privilege of being one of the pastors here at Next Level. And I just want to say welcome to everybody who's watching us today, whether you're here in Charlotte or somewhere else around the country, whether you're on your couch or in your car, wherever you are, we're glad that you're with us. And let me just say, if you're the kind of person who likes to take notes, my sermon notes, as always, are always found by going to nextlevelchurch.org/events, and you can just click on the sermon notes button and follow along from there. Well, today we're continuing in our series that we're calling Toxic Emotions, and so we're going to do part four today. So 3 weeks ago, I kicked off the series by starting to talk about fear and how we can overcome the fears that plague us. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Joseph did a great job coming out and sharing how we can win the battle against envy, and then last week, I talked about this toxic emotion of worry. And you can catch up on all of those messages on demand just by going to our website at nextlevelchurch.org. So, this week, I want to talk to you about this emotion right here. Right? Everybody know what it is? Anger. Yeah. And just to jump into this topic, I want to ask you, how many of you have a pet peeve, like something that really just gets to you? I have plenty, probably too many pet peeves. And what I want to do is I want to list for you the top 10 pet peeves that people have. And as I list them, I would love it if you would post in the comments with like a thumbs up followed by the number of the pet peeve that, you know, matches yours. So if I say number 5 is talking on a speakerphone in public and that is one of your pet peeves, I want you to just post a thumbs up followed by number 5. I'm sure you got it, right? Okay? So here are the top 10 pet peeves that people have. The first one is people who talk over you and never stop talking, right? Yeah, we're all thinking of somebody right now. And if you can think of someone right now, if it's the person sitting next to you, just don't say anything about that, right? So that's number 1. Number 2, how about people who always interrupt? How many of you would say, yeah, that's a pet peeve of mine. I hate it when people are constantly interrupting me. Well, number 3, double dipping. Let me just say, if you need to dip your chip more than once, then break it in half. I mean, this is exactly how diseases spread. Plus, it's just nasty, right? Don't double dip. Number 4, pet peeve, foot tappers. Right? I know that some of you think that everything in life is a tap dance. It's just not. So just calm down. Just stop. Number 5 pet peeve, people who don't understand personal space. Some people just don't understand what is an uncomfortable distance, and you need to figure that out. Number 6 pet peeve, people who ask, can I ask you a question? Like, you just asked me one. If you want to ask me a question, just go for it. It doesn't need an introduction, right? How many of you would say, yeah, that's one for me? Number 7, dishes in the sink. Messy people in general are just a pet peeve of mine, right? But dishes in the sink are especially annoying. How many of you agree that the kitchen should be the cleanest room in your house, right? So if you're that person, don't be that person. Number 8, people who chew with their mouth open. Plus, guys, that's just gross. Nobody wants to see that, right? Okay, so moving on. The number 9 pet peeve people have, people who cut in line. And I think this includes people who cut in on you in traffic. I put them in the same category. And then the last one, people who drive slow in the fast lane. Now, this might be my biggest pet peeve right here. So if this is you and we meet on 485 and you see me pass you, please understand I'm still a Christian. I still love you. You just need to move out of the way, right? Now, all of this is kind of fun, but the topic of anger is a pretty serious topic. And anger is kind of like fire. Fire can be a good thing. We can cook with fire. Fire can provide light and life and warmth. But when fire becomes uncontrolled, it can take lives. It can damage. It can take away everything that you have worked so hard for in life. In fact, did you know that 15 times in the same verse in Scripture, the words anger and fire are used together? You know, the authors are trying to tell us in Scripture that, hey, fire is kind of like anger. Anger is like fire because anger in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing, but out of control, very damaging. In our own country, people you know, got righteously anger over slavery, women's rights, civil rights, dictators in other parts of the world, and things change for better. So anger's not always bad. God even gets angry, especially about things that he cares deeply about. For example, God's really passionate about taking care of the poor. And many times we read in Scripture, when the poor weren't taken care of, God was righteously angry and things began to change. But when anger becomes unrighteous, when it goes out of control, just like fire, when anger becomes uncontained or uncontrolled, that's when problems happen. We can hurt people, and we ourselves can be hurt. When anger is not controlled, it can spread, and it can be so incredibly devastating. It can also be incredibly toxic. So this morning, here's my main point that I want you to know, that we must keep the fires of anger controlled before major damage is done. Just like an unconfined, uncontrolled fire can cause major damage, an uncontrolled anger can cause major damage in my life and in your life, in the lives of the people that are around you. Now, I want us to look at what God has to say about this topic, and to do so, I want to go to the book of Ephesians. Now, by way of context, in this letter, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he spends the first half of the letter talking about beliefs and theology and doctrine. Then in the second half, it's like he says, okay, now you know what you should believe. Let's talk about how to live. And that's where we're going to go today, to the second half of that book, where he kind of gets really practical on how to live and deal, especially with this topic of anger. So Paul, he writes this in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 26. He says, and don't let sin, or don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And what Paul is basically saying is, be careful with your anger, because if you're not careful, it can control you. Don't lose control, because out of control anger gives the devil a foothold in your life. It gives him a physical place to operate from in your heart. And when our enemy has a base of operations in our life, sometimes the damage is so destructive that relationships are ruined. Sometimes lives are lost, both literally and figuratively. And so Paul says, listen, you can be angry. Just don't let it consume you. Because when you do, you're giving the enemy a location in your relationships. You're giving him a location in your family. You're giving him a base of operations in your church, in your life group, and in your friendships. And Paul wrote this for a very specific reason, so that we understand that the enemy, Satan, the devil, whatever you call him, he is looking to destroy us. So how can we keep anger from taking control of our lives? Let me give a couple of ways real quick. And the first one is this. Stop and listen. Just stop and listen. Jesus' brother is in the very opening letters, words of his letter that he wrote. He said this about anger and speed. In James chapter 1, verse 19, this is what James says. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. As a society, it just seems we're just the opposite of this, right? We seem to be slow to listen and quick to speak. So really, it should be no surprise that we are quick to get angry. We're so quick to jump to conclusions. We're quick to get offended. We are quick to get angry, and we're so slow to listening and slow to understanding each other. Therefore, before we know it, the fire is just spreading out of control, and in our wake, we're leaving nothing behind but scorched earth. And oftentimes, we damage our own reputation, and even more devastating, we damage the reputation of Jesus himself. So, the first thing we need to do is not let our anger control us. So we need to stop and listen first. We just need to stop and listen. Second thing, get away and think before you speak. Early on in my ministry career, I had a pastor tell me this. He said, hey, Clay, you need to take 24 hours before you ever respond to a critical phone call or email or conversation. Just take 24 hours. Even if you want to respond in that moment, even if you think you're justified, even if you think you're right, take 24 hours to pray, calm down, and think about it. Why would he say that? Because we should be slow to speak. If we don't take the time to think about it, we may say something that we would regret. We could lose a job. We could lose a friendship. We could lose that relationship that we worked so hard to build. We could even lose the ability to talk to someone about God. There have been so many times that I've had to say, no, I need to contain this anger. I need to be slow to speak, and I need to get away right now. And friends, if you're in a relationship and there's arguing and things like that that's going on, and the other person just says to you, hey, I need some time right now, would you just give them that and not try to win the fight in that moment? There are times when it's good to say, hey, let's just stop right now. Let's kind of calm down. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll finish that phone call later. I'll email you tomorrow. You don't have to have the conversation right then. And if you need to get away and think, then go do it. And I know God will honor that. And I think you'll be blessed because you did it. So that's the second thing. The third thing that I want to spend some time on is don't rush into anger. Don't rush into anger. Don't rush in so quickly. Because if you light that match of anger and lose control of it, it's going to take off and it's going to ruin lives. And there's a couple of proverbs here I think that can help us out as the writer writes these, that they pertain to our situation here. Proverbs 14:17 says, short-tempered people do foolish things. How many of you know that to be true, right? And then he also writes in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, a fool always loses their temper, but a wise person holds it back. Over and over in Scripture describes people who lose control of their anger as fools. Why? Because it's short-sighted. When you lose your temper, you lose more than that. You lose relationships. You lose jobs. You may even lose money. All of that is just foolish. And one of the things that I've drilled into my kids as they were growing up, and they can all tell you this over and over, is to ask a very simple question. And the simple question is this: what would be the wise thing to do? Because sometimes right or wrong can be hard to see, especially in the heat of the moment, especially when you're angry. But here's the thing about this question. Usually we already know what's the wise thing that we need to do. This is a hard question to ask. What's the wise thing for me to do? Because again, I already know the answer. In the heat of our anger, sometimes I just don't like what I already know. What I want to be is right. What I want is for the other person to realize they are wrong. I want the other person to pay for what they have done. But when we rush into our anger, when we tend to do or say a lot of things like that, we'll regret it later. And how many of you have to admit that you've done or said some things in anger that you wish you could get back? If so, this one little question will help you with that. So when it comes to anger, before you rush in, before you respond, I just want you to ask yourself, what would be the wise thing to do? And ask it kind of in this way. In light of my past, in other words, in light of the last time something like this happened, and I rushed into anger because I knew I was right, in light of that, what would be the wise thing for me to do right now? Do you know why history keeps repeating itself for you over and over and over? You know why history repeats itself in your relationships? Do you know why history keeps repeating itself for you at your job? It's because you don't ask this question. And you think that somehow you can do what you did last time you got angry and get a different result. And when it comes to slowing down and not rushing into anger, we hate this question because it cuts through all the fog. And fortunately, or unfortunately, we know exactly what we should do. We should slow down and listen. And if you don't want history to repeat itself, you need to ask and then act on this simple question. The other way to ask it is, well, in light of my future hopes and dreams, meaning in light of how I would like this relationship with this person or this job or whatever it is to be in the future, in light of that, what would be the wise thing for me to do right now? What a tragedy it is to trade in tomorrow for something today that I may be wrong about in the future. What a tragedy to trade in a future relationship just to be right today. So when it comes to responding and rushing into anger, ask yourself, when you think about what you want your marriage to be like in the future, what is the wise thing for me to do right now? In light of where you want to be in your relationship with your children, what is the wise thing for me to do now? In light of what you want the future of your career to be, what is the wise thing for me to do now? We all know that our unwise decisions in the past have robbed us of a portion of our future. And some of why you are where you are today is because of how you unwisely handled the anger you had in the past. You robbed yourself of some version of a preferred future. And whenever we rush into anger and light the match and we refuse to ask this question, we rob ourselves of our own hopes and dreams. And I think if we'll just stop and ask ourselves that question, what would be the wise thing to do? I think we would come to the same conclusion as James, and that is we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So as we kind of wrap up this message, there's two questions I just want you to answer for yourselves. And the first question is this: when it comes to my anger, I sense God saying blank. And you can fill in the blank right there with whatever you feel. What do you feel God is saying to you in this moment? You know, I think God is speaking to all of us. And maybe he's saying that you need to slow down. Or maybe he's saying that you need to get some wisdom. Or maybe he's saying that you need to listen more. But what is it that you think God is saying to you about your anger? And then the second question I want to ask, what am I going to do about it? This is what God is saying to me. But now what am I going to do about it, right? Here's where my action steps come in. And here is something that I'm going to plan on doing. Here's what God is saying to me, and here is how I'm going to respond. Next week, guys, we're going to look at what happens if we don't deal with our anger in a healthy way. But right now, as you're thinking about those questions, let me just be able to pray with you. So bow your heads with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're so incredibly good. And I pray that you would help us to identify our triggers. Help us to identify maybe how we don't handle conflict in healthy ways. Help us to lay down our pride and just ask ourselves, what would be the wise thing to do? Lord, we surrender our anger to you right now. Jesus, come take control of us so that we do not let our anger control and run like wildfire through our lives and through our relationships. We humbly surrender ourselves to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name, and all of us say together, amen. Well, hey friends, thanks for joining us again today. Before you head out of your day, let me talk to you about something that I believe is really important. If you would like to help keep your church strong, you can do so just by simply heading over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org/give and choose one of those options that's there. Just know that every dollar you give makes sure that your church stays strong as we go through this crisis and is prepared more than ever to continue our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Now, by way of benediction, let me reread to you Proverbs 29:11, where he writes this. He says, "A fool always loses their temper, but a wise person holds it back." May you this week be slow in your anger. May you be quick to listen and slow to speak. May you do the wise thing and not let your anger control you. And as you do these things, may you be a blessing to all around you, even people who are against you. Hey guys, have a blessed week. We'll see you every day on all of our social channels this week on Facebook and Instagram. I just want you to know we're praying for you and we love you.